Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, as European leaders meet in Paris for an emergency summit on Ukraine, Russia and the United States say there's no role for Europe in any peace talks. Meanwhile, US President Donald Trump is looking to implement a reciprocal tariff plan for all economic partners and has singled out the European Union for unfair trading practices. Well, we're joined now from Republicans Abroad by Mitch Feierstein, investor and author of Planet Ponzi, and Fianna Fáil MEP Barry Andrews. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Mitch, I might start with yourself, and so much going on, it's hard to know where to start really, but we might look at the tariffs first. And Donald Trump is suggesting that there will be tariffs on the EU, one of the United States' closest allies, or at least has been one of the United States' closest allies. Why?
Well, hi there. Thanks for having me. Look, I don't think it's got anything to do with being an ally or not, but I think it has to do with economics, and it has to do with smoothing out where people think there's improprieties, or if there's a manufacturing edge that a certain country has. So certain countries in the EU, as you're aware, have a corporate tax rate that's 12.5%. So this is more about trying to level out manufacturing. If you want to bring some more of that manufacturing back to the United States, the corporate tax rate here is much higher. It's over 20%. So that's a bit of an arbitrage that people have to look at when you think about instituting tariffs and trying to make a level playing field.
Yeah.
And if you look at the surplus and the deficit aspect of it, you can see that the United States is about, what, 40? It's $500 billion of EU goods go to the U.S. as opposed to $350 billion worth of goods going to the EU. So, I mean, the flows are not quite right. So there's a lot more EU trade coming to the U.S. than U.S. trade going to the EU.
And how will tariffs help that, though? Because they're paid then by U.S. registered firms to U.S. customs for the goods that they import into the United States. So it'll be passed on to the U.S. consumer, won't it?
Well, I don't know. Or does it incentivize the manufacturers here to boost their production here and produce things at a more competitive level?
Or does it incentivize the EU?
That's the logic behind it.
Yeah,
but to say that that's going to cause inflation or things passed on to the consumer is not exactly right. The central bank's printing tons of money for the past decade plus of fiscal profligacy, just printing money out of thin air, has caused food prices to skyrocket in the last 5 years, over 25% in America. And across the world, you're seeing a similar situation because the Bank of England wasn't any better. All the central banks, European Central Bank, were all printing massive quantities of money.
But
so that's why you have inflation.
Say Donald Trump goes ahead with the tariffs on the EU. The European Commission has already promised firm and immediate reaction to those. And then you're in a trade war and everybody loses, surely, no?
Well, I don't think that it'll get to that point. I mean, you know, you're saying that then the EU will immediately react to something. I'm not particularly impressed with the European Union, and that's why I ran for Parliament in 2019 in the United Kingdom to get out of to leave the European Union, because I think that from a financial perspective, for Britain to be involved in the EU didn't make any sense, and Brexit did make sense financially. So do I think that they will be stubborn about what they want to do and cut their nose off to spite their face? Perhaps. I don't think that works out well for anybody, but I don't think it hurts the US as much as it would hurt the EU.
All right. Barry, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I don't know where to start. I mean, Brexit made sense. You claim Brexit made sense. I mean, you know, we live with this on a daily basis. It's had a disastrous effect on the UK economy for the last 7 or 8 years, and no amount of productivity can recover that position. Let me just deal with the first question around tariffs. Tariffs are at an historical low between the EU and the UK, and there are zero tariffs on pharmaceutical products because of WTO rules, and that is because of a fear that it'll cause increased prices for people who are very vulnerable, who are suffering from medical conditions. Now, the US, there's no way to dress this up except that it will have a very negative impact on US consumers. I've heard an awful lot of American business people who are really worried about European inputs in their supply chains and what impact that's going to have. And I think it is a question of allyship, by the way. Because, I mean, the Ireland-US relationship, we actually employ more than 100,000 US people. That's American jobs being supported by Ireland. There are 3.5 million American jobs being supported by the European Union. So we are allies. And let's not forget that. I mean,
but
you just can't brush that aside.
When it comes to trade, because I have heard different European politicians suggest we should be buying more of X, Y, or Z from the US to try and keep Donald Trump happy, which suggests there is more Europe could have been doing in terms of fair trading, perhaps.
Look, the last 4 years under the Biden administration, the US has introduced the Inflation Reduction Act, which has meant massive subsidies for American businesses, and European businesses are excluded from those processes. And these are barriers to European investment in the US, and these are barriers to European businesses setting up in the US. So, I mean, the characterization by the Trump administration in the last few weeks that Europe is somehow taking advantage of American generosity is it has absolutely no regard about what's happened in the last 4 years. And that's why the European Union has developed a number of important trade defense instruments to protect European business from the policies of the US. So what Trump is doing is making a bad situation even worse. I think what we have to I had a meeting this morning with a US Republican here in Brussels. And his advice to me and others in the room was to have as little regard as possible to what the Americans are saying at the moment and to have regard only for what they're doing. So there's been an awful lot of fires lit around the place.
Mitch, what do you think of that? Is this a bit of playing chicken and then backing down? Well, yeah, you know, we saw it with Canada, we saw it with Mexico. Right.
But there's a couple of things to unpack. Yeah, it's a negotiating tool. I agree. But also, just to get back to Brexit, the UK is not in a financial hole for 7 years. That's nonsense. But, you know, I get it that you're taking the EU position on this, and that's fair. And
right,
you can.
Okay.
But from a banker's perspective and for somebody who's been in international finance for over 45 years, I can tell you going joint and severally liable for the commitments that profligate European countries made didn't make any sense.
Okay.
And the GDP was higher.
Well, stay
than
away
in
from
Europe,
Brexit, if you don't mind, because that is a whole other conversation.
Right.
So if we could stick with the tariffs.
He got his rebid into mind. But then we'll get back to speaking about tariffs. Then, if you want to go back to the tariff part,
yeah.
I just was addressing what he had mentioned in response to what I had said. So
okay.
To get back to the tariff thing, yeah, I do. I do think that it's used as a bit of a negotiation tool to make things appear fairer. Because if you look at the imbalances, the surplus versus the deficit, there's a big imbalance, and the European Union could buy more. And the tax perspective in Ireland and other countries and pharmaceuticals, obviously, 12.5% corporate tax.
Yeah.
We can bring a lot of that back on shore, and with
well,
the differentials that you can do.
Well, it would be 15% soon enough. But just in terms of buying and the trade, you know, I mean, what is the suggestion here that Germany starts buying American cars even though they're producing their own? I mean, what is it that Donald Trump wants Europe to do? That hasn't been made clear.
Well, then you can go into the whole NATO argument and how much we're paying to support most of NATO and the other programs that the United States was supporting through USAID.
So is that what it's
so
about?
It
I suppose that's
more...
what the EU is trying to figure out, or certainly all of us watching on is trying to figure out. So Donald Trump is
right,
saying this is unfair. We're going to levy tariffs on the EU. Unless you do what? What is it that the EU is meant to do?
What's happening is the field of play has not been level for a long time. And the problem with the enormous amounts of debt accrued in Europe, the United States, and elsewhere has been because of central bank money printing. Now, what's happening with DOGE in the United States and with the Trump administration, they're taking a new look at all of the deals, and they're going to renegotiate everything and put a microscope on every trade deal that we have to make sure that it's the most advantageous for this country to move forward.
Listen,
okay, Barry.
Can I just get into – I mean, look, this is public policy vandalism at an enormous scale. The U.S. is supposed to be threatening Greenland, threatening Panama – inventing a ridiculous policy in Gaza and now excluding Ukraine from its own future. You have tariffs against Mexico and Canada to stop fentanyl. You have tariffs against the EU because you want us to spend more on defense. You have tariffs against China because of the surplus. I mean, the chaos that has been brought in here, it's impossible to follow exactly what Trump is trying to achieve. So I think the main thing for European politicians is simply to take a bit of time to really figure out what it is that Trump is trying to achieve, because it's not at all clear. He is
well, I mean,
trying to encourage
saying it's parity, you know.
Yeah, it's parity. Well, it's parity. I mean, it's proportionality.
Equilibrium. And parity. There's no like, you're an economist, Mitch. You're an economist.
No, I'm not. I'm a trader, and I've been doing business.
Well, you understand markets,
large scale deals. But wait, let me finish what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is, you know, it's clear that you have an axe to grind, and you don't like. It's something that, and you're taking the opposite side, and you're saying things that aren't necessarily 100% accurate. You're calling it vandalism or terrorism, economic. Yeah. What is it? You know, that's not how you characterize something like that.
So, Trump never uses this kind of language. Perhaps. Is that your suggestion?
Sorry?
Does Trump ever use that kind of language? Are you sensitive?
Not the language that you just used. I don't think so.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. What about, we might move on from the trading aspect of it and look at what's happening with Ukraine. And Mitch, I'm very interested in your thoughts on that, because I think the entire of the EU really has been stunned by what is happening, what has happened in the last couple of days in Ukraine. Moscow, by all reports, celebrating and selling it amongst themselves as a win for Putin. Is that where the US wants to be?
There's no winners in that. There's no winners in that. I think that the whole crisis could have been avoided had Boris Johnson not scuppered the peace talks in 2022 to begin with. And I think that there's over a million dead Ukrainians. I think that this should be stopped. Mm-hmm. I think that we've wasted over $1 trillion on something where Ukraine cannot win. They never had a path to victory. I think it's extreme madness, and I think it needs to stop.
So
and
when
I think
you we say there's do, no winners, what is it that think, Russia think, is think, being asked to give I, up then? Because it looks like from the outside think, as if Russia has launched a war that was unprovoked, taken territory, killed,
well,
as you say, very many people.
I wouldn't characterize it as unprovoked. You've got to go back to see what happened in 2014 and what Victoria Nuland and the State Department did in the United States. So that there are a lot of other circumstances that you're not considering.
What did Victoria Nuland do in the State Department that led to that would justify Putin
government
launching
in 2014.
A war in Ukraine?
No, but that had to do with people being killed in Donbass and the other territories that were mainly Russian occupied.
Okay, so sorry, is it the Republican position now that the war was justified?
I'm not speaking the Republican position. The Republican position right now, or the administration, wants to see an end to the death immediately.
Yeah.
And they want an end to the war. Mm. But they're not, you've got to take the realities on the ground into consideration with regard to what's happened in that war. And Ukraine has not won that war.
Mm.
Okay, so I mean, you've got to look at the situation on the ground, and you've got to create a lasting peace, period.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, you're just going to continue a war. It's going to cost taxpayers trillions more, and then there'll be never.
So do you think the way Donald Trump
war.
Has approached it is the right way to do it, which is to give away many of Ukraine's negotiating positions?
He's giving nothing away.
Has he not? By saying that Ukraine won't be able to join NATO, that the pre-2014 borders will, it's not realistic to go back
well,
to.
Well, he hasn't, nothing is on the table or off the table. NATO is probably not going to be an option for Ukraine to join.
Okay.
But, you know,
Barry?
That's.
Yeah, I mean, look,
either here or there.
The US, the current US administration hates European liberal democracy. And that's why Vance is going around supporting proto-fascists around Germany, and why Musk is going around supporting the AfD, who were kicked out of one of the groups here in the European Parliament because of their Nazi sympathies. That's why Trump is supporting Putin. That's why he's rushing into a deal here, giving away concessions before he even gets to the negotiating table. And the insult to the massive sacrifices that have been made by Ukrainians over the last 3 years by leaving them away from the table, it shows absolute contempt for that sacrifice. And I'm so glad that the European Union leaders and the UK Prime Minister got together in Paris to send out a very clear signal that the European Union will find a way to guarantee Ukrainian security in the future. And we will not give in to bullies. We will not give in to aggression. We won't give in to the imperialism of Putin.
Does the US have a point, though, Barry, that it's well past time for the EU to be able to defend themselves?
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. I think the European Union has not raised the 2% issue for NATO. I don't think that has happened. That should have been done before. And now we've been caught out, and we're being threatened and intimidated by a so-called ally, by the US. And we've had to really, really push forward with European defence and European autonomy in this area. And it's about time that we did that. And it's not about taking an aggressive position. It's simply being in a position, like any sovereign member state of the European Union, to be able to defend ourselves as the European Union. We've done things well together. We can do that in the future.
Okay, Mitch, final word to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the characterization that we're threatening somebody or the U.S. is threatening somebody is inaccurate. And as far as J.D. Vance's speech, it was 100% accurate. And what he said was true. I mean, in Germany, they wanted to ban a political party, AfD. And they're arresting people in Germany and in the United Kingdom and across Europe for what they say. Well, you have freedom of speech.
It wasn't 100% accurate.
You've got to have
the Scottish government, for example, looking for clarification over things that he said about Scottish law.
But it's a problem with freedom of speech and freedoms in the European Union right now. And he was 100% spot on to highlight that.
All right.
So, you know, I think
we'll leave it there for the moment. Interesting to speak to you both. And thank you for joining us. That's Mitch Feierstein and Barry Andrews. Thank you.